Hey, I'm Tom Riola, Chair of Theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza, the school president at Montgomery Catholic, and welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. Tom Riello and I today going to express some of our thoughts, a subject that we don't get to talk about enough, Catholic schools. And we have another great guest. You may have heard about Miss Eileen Aaron right here on Water Cooler Catechism recently, where we got to explore what got Miss Aaron all the way from the hills of West Virginia to Montgomery, Alabama.
The bustling metropolis of the capital of dreams.
That's right. And so she and her husband, Rick, who the Air Force actually delivered them right here to Montgomery, and they have become a huge part of our Montgomery Catholic community and the Catholics of Montgomery, that community as well. So Eileen is with us. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you.
And we are going to chat a little bit about the philosophy behind what we think makes Catholic schools really work in today's society.
Right. And, you know, I think that's one of the key things is why the Catholic school, you know, the church has reflected on this question for literally two millennia. You know, this is not something that's, I think, a thing that is important, folks, that if you're listening out there, we just assume education is a right. Everybody gets an education. Most of human history did not view it that way. Most of human history, education was reserved for the aristocrats. It was reserved for the rulers. If you had money, you didn't want to educate people because it was a kind of way of keeping them down. And it was the church in the very beginning stages of the church. You go back to the second century in Alexandria. You actually have a catechetical school of St. Clement and Origen working on establishing a culture of education. So I think that's an important point to mention is the church wants education for its people. Contrary to what you might read in some ridiculous history book about the Dark Ages, the church wants everybody to be ignorant. No, far from that. Right, Eileen? I mean, that's the history
right.
of the church.
Right.
So, you know, and that was, and the whole point about the church from the very beginning is that she wants an educated people. It's important to be educated, and the church has always seen it as a value to have schools.
Right. And a lot of times now we see it as, you know, you need to be educated for a job and a career. But in a Catholic school, we have the benefit of the education is to come to know, love, and serve God. And that's ultimately what our education should do. Yes, you need the skills. You need, you know, career development. But how do you use those gifts and talents that God has given you to know, love, and serve Him and His people?
Right, because you could have the highest test scores in the world, but if you don't have that relationship with God, then what does it all mean? You mentioned something earlier when we did our show where you kind of gave a little bit of your testimony about how, you know, you would go to these Catholic schools and you would ask them certain questions, and you said, look, if you cannot give me an answer that promotes the faith, then what's the point of me spending my money,
right.
my energy, when I can do just as well, if not better, than what you're doing?
Right. And I didn't want to take them to a school, my children to a school, where the faith was going to be watered down so everyone felt good about it. I wanted my children and I wanted myself, I wanted to learn the truth. I wanted to know the truth, even if it was hard sometimes. If it was what God desired or wanted, then that's what we needed.
And I think one of the things that people don't understand about the Catholic school is the fact that it actually is a place where the seeds of faith are being produced by habits. You know, Lori Gully is the principal at St. Bede's, and I remember talking to her, and I won't get into specifics, but, you know, her family that is in Montgomery, all of the children have gone through Montgomery Catholic. And she said to me one day, she said, you know, Tom, I'm so grateful, and not only because I'm here at Montgomery Catholic and I've been at St. Bede's for so many years, you know, teaching and being principal. She said, I just know that my nephews and nieces that have come through Montgomery Catholic, compared to, say, what's out there in other situations, my nephews and nieces that have gone through Montgomery Catholic have been formed with the habits of faith in their life, that it is part of who they are. And I don't think people can really understand how important that is, whether it's every class starts with prayer, to the fact that every religion class goes to the chapel pretty much once a week, where we don't see that as, and I know your philosophy as principal, that's not wasted class time.
Right.
In fact, that's the best class
right.
time.
Right, and I see that in my own children at my five children, that they, I don't worry too much when they go off to college what it is they're going to major in. It's that they have stayed close to their faith. They still desire to go to adoration. They still make it a point to go to confession. They don't want to miss Mass. That would bother them. So those things are more important to me, that they keep the faith and not so much what it is, you know, they become or who, you know, what profession they choose. It's that they're happy and at peace because of their faith.
And that's what the Catholic school does. It educates. We hear this all the time. The whole person.
Yes.
But it's not a cliche for us. It is at the very heart. It is at the very center of everything that we do. Yes, we have to educate people in the world, the arts of the world, if you will. We have to be able to write well, and we have to be able to do math. We know we want people who know what they're doing when they're building bridges.
But
if that's all we're doing, we're missing the mark. And I think that's what the Catholic school does. And I think that's why the Archbishop Brody is a big supporter of Catholic schools, and why it's important that the Catholic school become actually a place where the faith can be lived out in a very profound and winsome way.
One of the things at Montgomery Catholic, Tom, that we talk all the time about, whether it's right here on Water Cooler Catechism or if it's in our community, and Eileen, we get to live this every day, particularly in the high school, this is a place where true diversity lives and exists as well. And our Catholic faith, it would be great to say that in a Catholic school, everyone up and down the hallways, even in theology class, every student there was learning about his or her faith. But the fact that that's not true actually enriches the experience both for Catholics and non-Catholics. You have a community of faith that is filled with people, these young people, who are learning about themselves, learning about their own, you know, relationship with Christ, again, very cliche. And we're all at a different part in our walk, again, very cliche, but so accurate. And in a place where diversity is real, where the community of Montgomery, and yes, we're speaking specifically about Montgomery. If you're tuned in on Archangel Radio, you may be in Baldwin County. You may be listening from Dothan. You may be right in the heart of the Port City. But it's so true in all of those places that the Catholic schools are not these stark hallways of this is all Catholic, this is only Catholic, this is what we are. It is not just, it is very pure in that it is unpure. Is that, are we allowed to say that on the radio? It is very pure in the fact that
it's unapologetically Catholic, yet not everybody there is Catholic.
Absolutely. And that makes the Catholics live their faith in a different way, and it brings all the others to a place where they at least have an appreciation for Catholicism that they would not have had otherwise. But it makes our community stronger. And in a Catholic school, if the idea of the philosophy of Catholic education is important, then we have to be able to embrace others. You know, during the Advent season, we always think about preparing for Christ, and we're bringing Christ into the world. He was humbled to come into the world as an infant. But what I was really struck by in this most recent Advent season was how much we focus on John the Baptist. And John the Baptist proclaiming from the desert, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." A man who, if he walked into this room right now, would probably not fit in with anybody else in the room.
And his diet alone would be a little interesting.
With the way the world is going right now, locusts will probably be back on the menu in 2021.
And there's some people out there eating wild honey. We know that. Right?
For sure. Camel hair, definitely, again, probably trendy right now. But John the Baptist says, hey, basically, guys, I'm a human. The Son of God is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord for a man that will bring you the gift of the Holy Spirit in a way that you'll never experience. Well, I think of our teachers when I hear, you know, the last these gospels that have been at Mass during the Advent season. I think of our faculty as kind of these miniature John the Baptists, who they are, and I'm not saying that our students are heathens or pagans, but they are
you brood of vipers.
Yeah. They are definitely having to proclaim the gospel and prepare the way of the Lord in a way that is unique, is necessary, but it's also one that's allowed. You know, you don't get that opportunity in non-Catholic schools. You don't get that possibility in a public school where we can't pray before a sporting event, much less pray in class or prepare the way for the Lord to come into our lives. And so these teachers then become evangelists in the life of our students. And Eileen, you see that happen not only in your classroom as a teacher, but as the principal, as the faith leader of our school, you get to train up those teachers to take that role on as well. And that's no easy task, for sure.
Right. It's a wonderful task to have, though. And I wouldn't have that opportunity in a public school. It's the same with our students. I like what you said about, you know, we're not all in the same place and we're on a journey. And this is a safe place to be on that journey, whether you're a teacher or a student, and to promote or to evangelize to those students, whether it be through math, whether it be through English. All of those things, those subjects, when taught well, glorify God. And for those students to learn those skills and to be able to do that. So, yeah, it's a unique opportunity, but a wonderful one to have.
And you mentioned that irregardless of the subject matter, Christ can be the center of those things. You know, one of the projects you're working on right now are these textbook reviews, and you would think, okay, well, in a Catholic school, every fourth or fifth year, you might review the theology textbooks. And so theology comes to mind in that review process, and that would be easy. But no, as a Catholic school principal, this year we're reviewing social studies.
Yes.
And what is the number one criteria that we want to be sure to keep in mind? The theology of the social studies books. And that's what just makes me love you so much and love what we do at Montgomery Catholic. But talk about why that's important, particularly in a Catholic school. What about our philosophy influences those other subject areas, and why, as a parent, would that be attractive?
One of my favorite things about the Catholic Church is that it was founded by Christ, and we're the only church that can claim that. And so when we're looking at history books and social studies, and we review those, why wouldn't we have one that is written by and explains the Catholic faith as it relates to world history and U.S. history, and what the Catholic Church, all of their contributions throughout history to that.
So our students then need to view history through that lens, through that perspective.
Lens, yes.
And it's important to, when you think about a textbook, so often, say I'm a parent and my student is in the 10th grade and they bring home a 10th grade American history book, I'm not sitting in class with that student. I'm not listening to the lectures. I'm not super tuned in to what's being shared on an everyday level. But if I see a textbook that at least starts with the Catholic faith in mind, a conversation could be had at home.
Correct.
About how that works. We have lots of conversations in our own household that may start right here on Water Cooler Catechism, but more broadly on Archangel Radio. Right. Tom, tell us a little bit about this wonderful station.
Exactly, Justin. Heard here on Archangel Radio. You are listening to Water Cooler Catechism, and you can listen to Archangel Radio on 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. Especially if you live down in Baldwin and Mobile counties, you get to sit in your car, have a nice cup of coffee on the way home, or driving on the Bay Bridge, and there you go, you know, an I-10 or whatever, and you can listen to Archangel Radio that way. But if you live in the capital of dreams or in Dothan, your best way to listen to Archangel Radio is through the Archangel Radio app. So go to your favorite Play Store to download the app, and you are going to be able to be like you are right there, right in the studio with Todd and Ellen and Mike or Archbishop Brody as we get to listen to the Archbishop Show, our own show, Water Cooler Catechism, the LA Catholic Morning, just really wonderful, unique programming to the Archdiocese of Mobile. And that is one of the great blessings of Archangel Radio, is that it really has shrunk the diocese. It has made it where you know, we are really one diocese, but we're a large diocese land-wise, and I'm so grateful to the work of Archangel Radio because of that. And, you know, I just want to say, folks, and this is important, is, you know, these are very difficult times right now, and never forget, you know, Archangel Radio is basically listener-supported, so there are great ways to be a part of Archangel Radio, and you can listen to it, 94.5. You can go on the app, my favorite way to listen, or you can listen on archangelradio.com. And, you know, we're talking about Catholic education and the important part of it. I was asked the other day for yearbook by one of our students, what makes you want to work at Montgomery Catholic? And I answered that question very quickly, and it was very easy for me to answer. What makes me want to work at Montgomery Catholic and why I love working at Montgomery Catholic is the fact that I get to introduce young men and women to the person of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And that's it. You know, everything else. My favorite part of what we get to do, right, is when early on in the school year, happens every year, I'll get a half a dozen emails from students who just graduated. Mr. Wilson will get a half a dozen emails. And it'll be a question about, hey, remember in class when? And I can send somebody on a link, or I can say, oh, here's the stuff that we talked about. You know, they may not remember the particular answers, but they know that there was an answer. And so that's a great way that we can really introduce our young people to the faith and to be able to experience that faith. And, you know, I hate to say it, but if you send your child to a quality private school or to, you know, a public school, they miss out on that. That's a lot of years lacking that formation. And folks, I don't mean to be disrespectful here, and I really don't. If you think your CCD program in the parish is going to replace what the kids get here at Montgomery Catholic, I'm sorry. That's just not. I can't acquiesce that. I just can't. It would be dishonest. Your 35 minutes on a Sunday morning in a parish program is not going to replace what Lauren Hoyer is doing 5 hours a week with his kids. And any other answer to that is dishonest.
And it's not just the religion class they have every day here, the theology class. It becomes cross-curricular. It's integrated throughout the day in the activities we do, the way we teach our children to treat each other. If you look at other, you know, the math teachers' rooms and the English teachers' rooms, the artwork they have up is religious. Each room has a crucifix. The books and the stories they choose to read all have qualities that you can talk about from a faith perspective.
Sinead Turner, I mean, they read Flannery O'Connor, and and she teaches them how to read Walker Percy and Flannery O'Connor with the eyes of faith, because you can't understand the works of Flannery O'Connor and Walker Percy apart from the eyes of faith, which, again, if you're reading it from a public school perspective, you're not going to look for those things.
Right. You're not allowed to talk about it.
Right. So. You get fired. I tell the students half the time, if I was taped and they played this at a public school, I would be suspended or fired from my job.
Right.
Every single day.
Every day.
You wouldn't stand a chance. You know, the other thing about you, Tom, that I love, and you say this all the time, you've been in Montgomery how many years?
15
years, and haven't worked a
day in my life.
Absolutely, since he moved here.
Listen, and you feel the same way, and I know you feel the same way, because think about what we get to do every single day. We get to bring Christ to young men and women, and not all of us, you know, this is not homogenized. Here comes everybody.
Right.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. You ask folks, I know a lot of you down there, you know who Father Pat Arensberg is. Father Pat Arensberg, in two particular years, right off the top of my head, in 2014 and 2016, he brought in, what, a dozen young people into the church, and to this day still keeps in touch with probably half a dozen of them.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's an amazing thing, right? Because there's a hunger that even those kids don't even necessarily know that they have. And then when you have those priests who are present here who can meet that need, that's not happening in a public school. It's just not.
Right. And we have two priests. We're very fortunate here. We have two priests that are on campus every day and are here just to talk to the kids, to be around the kids. They lead Bible studies. They're here for confession, offering Mass. You would never have that in a public school. So we're very fortunate.
You know, and those are the same priests who, on their off days, are playing Ultimate Frisbee in the park with those kids. They're joining the hiking club. They are playing volleyball on a random Thursday night or a Saturday morning with kids who just want to have a place for you know, for them to hang out. And those are the kind of influences in the lives of our young people that they're getting right here at Montgomery Catholic, but at all of our Catholic schools. You know, I'll mention, got to do a plug, Faustin Weber and Michelle Hayes do a phenomenal job at our two sister schools down in Baldwin County and Mobile. And once a year, we all typically, in a non-COVID year, make our way to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And it is so powerful to me as a Catholic school administrator to see those Catholic schools join with Montgomery Catholic in this fight for the pro-life movement and this fight for the unborn, to give a voice to those who do not have a voice. And you would think, oh, this is something that's unique to Montgomery Catholic. And then our two sister schools show up, and it's powerful to me because I see that, man, they are getting it right there too. And it is so cool to know that the leadership believes in it, that our diocese, it starts at the top. Archbishop Rohde makes it clear Catholic education is important. His philosophy of Catholic education is something that all three of those archdiocesan high schools have embraced. Our elementary schools are producing outstanding students for us then to mold into young people. And it's just powerful. So St. Michael's and McGill-Tulin and Montgomery Catholic are taking young people in the diocese and helping them discover how God can work in their everyday.
Justin, you said something there about His Excellency. And Your Excellency, this is something that I will say to you. It'll say things I'll say about you. You believe in Catholic schools. And I think that is something that is huge because you are busy. We all know that you're busy. Folks, you guys know that the bishop's going to be busy. He's got a lot going on.
If you're not going to pray for the bishop, pray for his car.
Right, pray for his car. But when he says that it's his job to know what's going on in his schools, he's not just saying that for a PR release. Archbishop Rohde visits every single school every single year in the Archdiocese of Mobile, no matter how big, no matter how beautiful, no matter how small, no matter what. That is huge. I grew up in New York. The only time I ever saw a bishop was for my confirmation, and I didn't see the Cardinal Archbishop. I saw the auxiliary bishop. And that's it. That's the only time I ever saw a bishop. I tell my students this. I said, you guys don't think twice about seeing the bishop. It's for you guys, it's like, wait a minute. I was at the football game the other day. I was hanging out to, you know, Grant Smith. You know, hey, here's my buddy. Archbishop Rohde's my buddy, you know. I mean, these kids, they walk around, you know, yeah, it's my buddy, you know. James Sadie, oh, it's my buddy, Archbishop Rohde. That would never happen in Philadelphia or New York. And guess what? It's also why they have maybe one ordination per, 50,000 Catholics? And a diocese our size has maybe 2 to 3 ordinations every year, or puts 25 guys in seminary for a diocese of 60,000 and their diocese of 2.5 million with 50 guys in seminary. Because seeing the bishop, you know, Justin, he will talk to us and say, hey, who are the young men that are there? Father Connor, Father Patrick, Father Pat Arensberg when he was here, Father Nicholas Napolitano, Father Driscoll. I mean, so many priests, Father Alex, Father Youngman, you know, they're all part of this matrix, if you will, of helping create a culture of vocation. And that's the other thing about the Catholic school, a culture of vocation. That's huge. And that's exactly something that, you know, when you were doing youth group, when you would, you know, all the different camp, YMCA, you create a culture. What does it mean to create a culture? How do you do that?
Well, you have to believe in it first. And so what you mentioned about Archbishop Rohde, it's obvious to us, his hands and feet in the community, that he believes in us. He believes in Catholic education. We then have to go do the same thing. So when you build that culture, the person at the top, the people who are going to be the face, the hands, the feet, have to believe in it as well. And at Montgomery Catholic and at all of our Catholic schools in the diocese, we believe in the value of relationships. We believe that if we can form a relationship with each family, with each person, within the classes, that we can change hearts and minds. And Tom, you and I, we live that every day. But it's not just us. We need the faculty to buy into that. We need the parents to buy into that. And as you mentioned, that's a culture. And that culture founded in faith really is built on trust. It is built in those personal relationships where, you know, that fire has to burn bright. And I love the analogy of igniting someone's light. So if Christ's light can burn in me, if I can be the torchbearer for Christ's light in the community, two things happen. One, it shines on all those who are around me. So I'm going to hopefully attract people out of the darkness to my light. And it will shine on their face. And they too, being drawn to the light, then will follow it to where we go. And I'll say three things. So that was one instead of two. The second is, when I share my light, and you've heard this right here on Water Cooler Catechism before, one of the amazing things about that flame is that when I give it away, my flame is in fact not diminished. If I go up to you and you're drinking a ginger ale and I say, Tom, I love your ginger ale, give me a little bit of your ginger ale, and you pour some in my cup, your cup is less full. Not true with the light of Christ. I can share it abundantly, and my own shall not be diminished. That's phenomenal. The third is this, and this is inspired by our friend Father Pat Ahrensberg, who helped illustrate this for me at Camp Ocoee just a couple years ago. We talk about trust. To trust in following God's light as it burns inside of you is to know that our lamp lights only about 15 feet in front of us as we walk in the darkness. I have to continue walking forward knowing that I trust in a Lord who will not lead me astray. And we hope to not do that right here on Water Cooler Catechism. For Tom Riello, our guest Eileen Aaron, I'm Justin Costanza, and thanks for tuning in.